to me. We're glad to see you. Glad you thought enough of God to stop by. If the Lord's Spirit stay the same, we're going to do several messages on this same passage of Scripture. And it's called the Ships of Life. Today we're going to talk about partnership out of the ships of life. I said ships and I thought about, I don't remember when it was. Some of you are good history buffs, you probably will know this. When they launched a ship called the Great Titanic, it was supposed to be unsinkable. But yet today we read about it sinking. But I want to talk to you today about the ships of life, and this ship is still afloat. We're going to pull from this today, partnership. And we're going to attack it this way. God wants to be your best friend. Your relationship to God have many different aspects. God is your creator, your maker, Lord and master, judge, redeemer, father and savior, and much more. But the most shocking truth is the Almighty God yearns to be your friend and form a partnership. In Eden, we see God's ideal relationship with us. We see Adam and Eve. They engaged in an intimate friendship with God. There was no rituals, no ceremonies, no religion, just a simple loving relationship between God and the people he created. Unhindered by guilt or fear, Adam and Eve delighted in God and, help me, Holy Ghost, he delighted in them. We were made to live in God's continuous presence. But after the fall, the ideal relationship was lost. In the New Testament, only a few people at that time had the privilege of friendship with God. Moses and Abraham were called friends of God. David was called a man after God's own heart. Job and Enoch and Noah had an intimate friendship with God. But fear of God, not friendship, not partnership, was more common in the Old Testament. So do you understand now that God wants to have an up-close and personal and intimate relationship with you? If you don't have, give you one guess whose fault it is, and if you're wrong, your one guess don't count. That means you get another one. If you say anything other than me, you're wrong, and you'll get another chance. Because the reason we do not have an intimate relationship with God is nobody's fault but our own. Going to throw a change of pace at you here. If you've played baseball or you've been around a while, you know a pitcher do that to you every now and then. He'll throw a change of pace. Point number one is my change of pace. Following God is not enough. Just saying that I'm a member of the church is not enough. You have to do more than just want to follow him. Well, you remember all those people that followed Jesus in the New Testament? Some of them followed him so they could feel they're good. If you look at the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 24, verses 14, chapter 26, verses 14 through 16. See where I'm coming from with this one. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said unto them, "What will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you." And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time, he sought opportunities to betray Jesus. Following Christ is not enough. Judas to us ought to stand as a great warning to every man that every man inside into the everybody, including the strongest believer. Judas was one of the original 12 apostles chosen by Christ. He was a man with so much potential that he was chosen to serve with God's very own Son during his earthly journey. But he failed and came up short. Judas had been personally chosen by Christ. He had, as we said earlier, some great potentials, some unique qualities that attracted the Lord. Judas had the privilege of walking with Jesus personally. Judas knew Jesus face to face. Judas walked with Christ day after day. And I believe he might have heard most of the messages, if not all of them, that Christ delivered, or the things that he taught. And saw most, if not all, that Christ did. Judas was trained to be an apostle by Christ himself. Judas served as an apostle, even on witness tours, under Christ's personal command. Judas was warned of sin's consequences by Christ himself. He received the warning, he just didn't take heed. Most of us have received what it's going to be like if we don't receive Christ as our Lord and Savior. Following Jesus is not enough. Just being in church is not enough. And I'm glad to see y'all on this Sunday, but just coming because it's the pastor's anniversary is a poor reason for coming. You ought to be coming because of your love for Jesus Christ. If you never have a pastor's anniversary for this guy that's pastor now, it will be all right. If you come for Christ, if you're coming for any other reason, you are coming for the wrong reason. Judas was lost and he had a choice, but Christ was teaching and he was there all the time. But just because you're there, help me, Holy Ghost, it does not mean that you are receiving everything that's being taught. Y'all have to excuse me. I'm just me. Just because this pastor's appreciation, it doesn't mean I'm not going to be me. You can be sitting here and hearing me all this time, and your mind be somewhere else. Your body is here, but your heart is someplace else. We need to understand that just because you do churchy things doesn't mean that you have Christ in your heart. Judas had a problem. His problem was sin, was the sin of greed. He loved money. Greed is a growing sin, and it's very dangerous. Greed enslaves us quickly. Greed can lead to other sins. It is not money that's sinful. It's the love of money. Don't love it to the point where that becomes your God. Don't love it where that becomes the only reason that you get up in the morning and go to work. I know y'all looking at me saying, "But you ain't got to go in the morning." No. Thank God. But you ought to go because you love what you're doing. And because what you're doing, God ought to get some glory out of what you're doing. Because you are his child, whatever you do, it's going to reflect on him. Young people, you might not know it, and mom and dad might not know everything that you've done wrong, but it reflects on them. The things that you do reflect on those people that love you. So Judas had a love of money, because the Bible doesn't say any other reason that he betrayed Jesus other than the 30 pieces of silver. All right, sir. And then he didn't even keep it. But he loved it enough to betray him. Following Christ is not enough. This following Christ, it has to get on the inside of you. And you just know that that's what you ought to do. And sometimes it'll feel just like, I'm going to quit this. I'm sick and tired of being the way that I am. And yet I'm tired of this. I keep praying and trusting God and following him, and I can't even get a job. Nothing never seems to go right. Stay right there. Because somebody said, anything that's worth having, that's worth you giving birth to, is going to hurt. You have something inside of you that if you allow God to come in, and you just don't come just because you want to follow him. Brothers and sisters, if you following Christ to keep from going to hell, you got a wrong reason. That's pretty good, but you ought to serve him just because you love him. Just because you love him. No, you don't want to go to hell, but you serving God because you love him. Wherever he's going to be, I want to be there. Because this is all that it's all about. And I know I can't see him, never have seen him, but I sure see the results of it. All I have to do is not think about you, just think about me. Where he have already brought me from. And I'm not where he's going to take me to. But because I'm trusting him, I'm leaning and depending on him and not on myself. I'm not worried about following him. I'm just going to follow him. Where he leads me, I will follow. Because he's the only one that have been to heaven and hell. And came back and went to heaven. And he promised me that if you follow me, you will be where I am. A lot of us follow Christ not out of a deep conviction and belief, but to get what we can out of him. If I do this, if I do that, if I get the right people on my side, make them think I'm serving God, they're going to bless me with stuff. Be like the man that had all the stuff and had harvested so much stuff, he had to tear down his old barns and build new ones. Put your head on the pillow to go to sleep. Then death knocks on your door. And you try to send somebody else the answer. But death just keep knocking. And after a while, if you know how people is, when people come to your house and you, if they just keep right on persisting and knocking, you eventually go and open the door. And the same people that was knocking the first time are there at the door. Death was knocking first, but you wouldn't go. Nobody else, if anybody else went and opened the door, he wouldn't take them. That's what happened to that man. Because when you think you get stuff and you're going to bless, no, you got to do what you do because you love God. Don't be after serving God for what you think you can get. Because when you get it, it is just like trying to hold water in your hands. You can't do it. You can't do it. You ought to be following God because you are in love with him. And we say this, love make you do crazy things. The wrong kind of love, the Arios love, but the agape love, that's the love you ought to have for God. Judas had a lot of strength in finance, but he allowed his strength to become his weakness. Because sometimes we do this in real life. And if you don't learn anything else from me, take this and try it for a while. Whatever your strength is, work on it. Whatever your weakness is, leave it alone. Because your strength, if you keep working on your strengths will overtake your weakness. Now that might sound strange. You might want to go work on your weaknesses. And I'm thinking about weightlifting. They tell you when you're weightlifting, if your legs are skinny and you want to get big legs, you work on them. Work on your legs. Do a lot of leg exercise, Brother Brunson. And that's supposed to build up your legs. But that's in the physical. But in the spiritual, if you keep working on your strength, your strengths will overshadow your weaknesses. Because then you won't put so much emphasis on your weakness. We worry about what we can't do more than what we can do. That's why when we look at other people and they look at us, they look at our weaknesses. And what we need to look at are the things that we have in common. But we won't look at that. That's our strength. We won't look at our. So we need to build up our strength so our strength will overcome our weaknesses. Point number two. In partnership, there are people that we call that have to be partakers. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And he said unto them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Luke chapter 9, 23. A believer must deny himself. Man's tendency is to indulge himself and do exactly what he desires. But believers are not to indulge themselves, his comfort and ease. He's not to have his appetites and his urges, his thoughts and his feelings, his deceptions and his enticements, his plots and his intrigues, his prides and his boasting, his reactions and his disturbance. The believer is to deny himself by discipline and controlling himself and by the love and caring of sacrifices and giving, and by helping and ministering. When you are a partaker, you take what comes in and you use that. A person must take up his cross daily, not sometime, all the time. Every day you must take up your cross. Your cross is not one particular thing. People in Jesus' day knew what it meant to take up a cross. The cross does not mean bearing one particular hardship in life, such as poor health. Well, this is my cross to bear. I'm just not supposed to have good health. No, get out of that. Health or unemployment, that's not it. You have more than that to bear. Well, I did the best I could with this child, but she just seemed that she just ain't going to do right. I guess this is my burden to bear. This is my cross. Don't take it. You have a choice. You have a choice. You do not, your cross is this word. If you bear that cross, you will do what thus saith the Lord. And 90% of the time, we always take something that's not ours to bear. Somewhere, I can't remember where, but I heard some of y'all say this. And y'all said it's in the Bible, and y'all believe us, so I believe what y'all told me. It said, cast your burdens upon me. So now, why are you going to take it? Give it to him. He told you to cast it upon, but you want to do it. Can't nobody do this but me. Give it to Christ. You got a partnership with him. Partners are people that work together towards the same end. And I've come to one conclusion. I don't want to partner with nobody that's in worse shape than I am. Yeah. Uh-uh. No. I ain't gonna partner with you if I need two slices of bread and you don't have two slices. Why am I gonna partner with you? I need to look at this person over here that got the whole loaf of bread so I can partner with them and make and get more. You need, that's why God partnered with you. What could you give God? God got more than everything. God doesn't need you. One of those great big long names we talk about in him is all sufficient. Everything he need, he got it within himself. So I need to partner with him. Well, you need $700,000. I don't even have a bank account. Would you want to partner with me? Partner with somebody that may have $200,000 or $300,000, $700,000. That's what God did with us. But he was willing for us to partner with him. Now listen, don't y'all take this to personal, but it's for real. All of us that are partners with you in whatever you're doing, one of us have to bring more to the table than the other one. Yeah. But then what I bring more to the table when we partner, there's something else that you bring more to the table than I do. That's why we can partner. But now with the ultimate partner, you can't bring any more to the table than he can. That's Jesus the Christ and God the Father. So but we have to be partakers. We have to take this and use it for what God would have us to do. Those things that we cannot do, he can do them. So we need to allow him to do them. We are to let the mind of Christ be in us. Somewhere it says, let the mind of Christ be in you. The mind that was in Christ need to be in us. Then we can become and we will be partakers of what Christ has for us. We need to not allow sin to reign in our lives. Romans chapter 6, verse 11 through 13. Likewise, reckon ye also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instrument of the righteousness unto God. Listen, he's saying here that the believers need to count himself crucified with Christ. That's why you are partakers of this, because you are crucified. This is the partnership. The believer counts himself dead to sin, but alive unto God. Dead objects does not have any life in them. So if sin is dead, that means you do not commit sin. The believer does not let sin reign in his body. And that big word there, let, mean you have to allow it to. If you don't let sin will not get in your body by osmosis just because you get around it. It won't get in you. You have to allow sin to come into your life. The believer does not yield his body members as instruments of sin. The believer yields himself to God. The believer yields his bodily members as instrument of righteousness. You can use your body for sin. Don't do it. Use it to the upbuilding of the kingdom of Christ. Then you will be doing what thus saith the Lord. The believer must follow Jesus. However, man's tendency is to follow someone else and to give one first allegiance to something else. Most of us have given our allegiance to something else or somebody else. before we decided to come to Christ. And it's hard to break that allegiance. That allegiance will not just let you go. You have to make yourself quit sinning. You have to suffer when you go through sin, because most of us, if we were to tell the truth, enjoyed our sins while we were committing them. So it's more difficult to walk off and leave. Some sin that you didn't like, it doesn't even bother you right now. But your favorite sin, yeah, you better stay out from around it now, even though you haven't done it in 25 or 30. Stay, because there's an enticement. Point number three, communion. John chapter 15, verses 7 and 8. If ye abide in me, and my word abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Abide. Abide. If ye abide in me, there are the attached branches and the results of the promises are made. In verse 7 and 8, y'all need to go back and finish reading that. I know most of you read it anyway, but read the other part of that and you'll see where I am right now. Jesus had already covered the pruning or the discipling of the branches. Here he covers the promise made to them and the results of their abiding in him. The promises and the results are conditional. We don't want, when it comes Jesus, it's time to do so. We don't want conditional. We want it to just come. But there's a condition for it to come. He said, if ye abide in me, if you don't abide in him, I'm glad you asked. Abide is coming and tabernacling with him, getting on the inside of him, finding out everything you can about him. We tabernacle when we allow this word to change our lives, because we want him to abide with us, so therefore we have to abide. If ye abide in me and my word abide in you. We want him to abide in us just because of who we are, just because of who my mama and my daddy is. I want him to abide in me because they will say, no, it's not like that. You got to do it for yourself. You have to abide in this word. If you abide in him, then he will abide in you. If you live in this word, if you live every day in this word, then he will come and live in you. On your job, at work, when you're driving up and down the road, when you're at home, ain't nobody there but you. Everybody else gone. You can't be surfing the channel and looking at in and everything that you ought not to be looking at if somebody else was there. You need to be, word need to abide in you all the time. You can't just be a Christian on Sunday. There used to be a song they played on the country and western stations, going to heaven on Sunday. Every other day I live like I want to, but Sunday, yeah, gonna gamble and do everything else all them other days, but on Sunday I'm gonna go to church. Then that'll take care of everything. No, that's not the way it is. You got to live this. Jesus was not God's son just on the Sabbath day. Every day. 24/7. If you can get 25 in there, 25. Every hour, every minute of the day, you have to abide in him. And when you do that, you'll be okay. You abide in him by studying in his word. The believer must take the word of Christ and study and learn them. He needs to have his thoughts and his desires controlled by them and be motivated and controlled by them. The word needs to be the reason you do everything that you do. You need to do it so much, you need to live so much according to this word that you do it without thinking. I say this a lot because it means a lot to me. None of us, I believe, woke up this morning and told ourselves it's time to start breathing. You just did it anyhow. That's the way it ought to be with this word. You ought to just stay in this word anyhow. And we have so many different ways that we can get in this word now. The attached branches receive nourishment from the vine. That's because your prayers are answered. Answered prayers are nourishment. Most of us, when we pray and ask God for something and He does it, you might not can see it in yourself, but there's a difference in you. There's a difference in the sound, the way you, where you go and what you do. And you might not notice the difference, but those of us that are around you, we just don't tell you. But maybe sometimes we ought to tell them, said, you sound a little happier today than you did yesterday. Have God done something for you? But see, God, when God does something for us, we ought to just tell it. Just be glad to tell it, because you let something bad happen to you. You ain't okay. You can't wait till you get where the rest of us ought to tell us about. So you ought to be the same way when God bless you, when He does something good for you. You ought to be willing to tell it. Because that's the way the word gets out. Somebody else need to hear that what God did for grandmama and grandpapa and them, He's still doing it. The same God that brought us through the outhouse and all those other things will take you wherever else you need to go. The same God that made you stop wearing hand-me-downs is the same God. You have to know that. And that's the nourishment. That's the results of prayer being answered. That's what feeds you. No, y'all. Have y'all ever noticed fruit trees? They constantly show how good God is. If you don't believe God's good, sometimes when you don't have anything to do, you may get here a few minutes early. Walk across the road and walk under that acorn tree out there. That acorn tree exclaims the glory of God all the time. All you got to do is just look down. And you can, under that tree, you can't hardly put your foot down anywhere where you don't step on acorns. I know y'all can't find no good in acorns, but that's the fruit that's produced. That's the way your prayers are. When you are constantly embedded in the word of God, God will. And see, He answers your prayer so much that you just think He just ought to do it anyhow. No, you need to give Him honor and glory. And that tree over there, it shows God how grateful the tree is, because He just keeps right on producing. Doesn't ask God for any more than God gives Him. Lord, whatever You give me, I'm going to use it. I'm going to use it to Your glory. And when God receives the glory, God wants you to tell people about how good He is, because some people don't believe God's good. They think He's way off our tundra somewhere. They don't know that God's right here in Crestview on the street that I live on. On the place where I live, God's right there too, because I'm there and He dwells in me. He abides in me. When we have communion with Him, we're in constant fellowship. We're constantly talking to Him. We are constantly touching Him. But you got to want to communicate. If you don't want to communicate, you won't communicate with Him. The attached branches glorify God by bearing much fruit. Then I wrote this down here, and so I'm going to tell you, I asked myself a question: what is the fruit? It's righteousness, good character, and making converts. I'm glad you asked. No, I can't make them, but I sure can encourage them. I can tell them about this God that we serve. And all, there's some people in this world right now, and you might not believe this, that are just waiting on you to tell them about the saving grace of God. I read in one of those books that everybody must be witnessed to 6.7 or 7.6 times before they begin to really think about God. You may be the person that pushes them over the limit. And you may be the person that starts them. But somebody, help me, Holy Ghost, did it for you. You didn't get here by yourself. You didn't get here because somebody didn't witness to you. People, you need to witness to people so much that the person you witness to might not even realize that you're witnessing to them. Just witness to them, just all the time. But no, we want to. As soon as I say, will you, we want them to say, yes. No. Because you have to tell them, you have to show them that this word is abiding in you. When people see fruit in the life of the believer, they are forced to turn their minds to God, to acknowledge that God's power could do such a thing in that person. And you do know most of us, if we witness at all, witness to people that have known us for a while. So don't you think they don't know, and don't you think they have forgotten how you used to be. They may have forgotten how they used to be, but they won't forget how you used to be. Point number four. To form a partnership, we have to become a companion. For that, I went to the book of Philemon. It's just one chapter, and it's verse 17. Paul said this to Onesimus, to Philemon: if thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. We have to become companions with people to form a partnership. When we form this partnership, it means something. It does not mean that I have to be right here by you. Paul was in Rome, locked up in prison. Onesimus was back somewhere else. But Philemon was a runaway slave. Paul had formed a relationship between Onesimus and Philemon was his slave. He stole something and ran away, and then he ran into Paul. And Paul, he was converted by talking to Paul, and here Paul is sending him back to his slave master. But he's telling the slave master here in verse 17, if you receive me, receive him as me. Because Paul had formed a partnership with Onesimus. And he had a relationship and had formed a partnership with Onesimus. So therefore, this is what we have to do. We have to form this partnership and become companions with other people, because we are a companion with God. God send you. You are the runaway slave. He sends you to witness to the slave master. I'm glad you asked. The slave master is that person that's yet bound in sin, and they don't realize that they are slave master. They don't realize it. So you have to tell them what thus saith the Lord. And you tell them, if you receive me, then you need to receive this person. I receive God, and I'm telling you because of what all he's done for me. So therefore, Paul is telling Philemon, you got to take him back. Because of me, not because of him. Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, was saying, God, if you receive me, receive all those that follow me. Receive those because they are my companions. They are walking with me. Companions walk down the same road, go the same way, do the same thing. We need to become from the partnership with God, because we are his companion, and we must tell somebody else about the saving grace of God. If you don't tell them, who's going to tell them? You have got to tell them about the saving grace of God. And my conclusion. God's partnership that he formed with me and with you was the very first partnership that was formed on earth. That's the relationship between God and Adam and Eve. God formed a relationship that was unbreakable by time. God formed a relationship that he had more to give than anybody else. He formed a relationship with them after they had sinned. The relationship before they sinned was the relationship that after they sinned, God mended it and got it back. Super glue is a wonderful thing. It'll glue stuff back together, hold it together, but you know it's been broken. That's what sin did for us. Sin broke the relationship that was formed, the partnership that was formed between God and man. But the one thing I love about this relationship, the super glue of this relationship, is Calvary. What Calvary mends back together, can't nothing or nobody break it apart. Can't nobody take me out of the hands of God. Somewhere in his word he said, those whom I hold in my hand, the devil in hell can't pluck them from asunder. I'm glad that Jesus formed the partnership, and he is the glue that holds it together. This partnership, can't anybody break it once we form this partnership. And you just can't get in this partnership just because you follow Jesus. You have to receive him. You have to receive him. If you follow him, yes, you can go with him and go everywhere he goes. But if you, like Judas, you will not receive the word in your heart. If you receive him into your heart, then you are forming a partnership. You're going to do everything you can to keep from breaking the partnership, because you don't want your partner to look at you and say, you didn't do your part. But I did my part. I'm so glad that when God made that covenant between him and Abraham, that he did not let Abraham walk down the center of that animal. He cut the animal in half, and Abraham was there with him, and he put him in a deep sleep, and God himself walked down the center of the animal, meaning that God himself sealed the covenant. He sealed the partnership that he had with man. Man can't break it because man didn't make it. I'm glad that the partnership I have with God, nobody can break it, because God formed this partnership and I'm walking with him. Nobody else can walk. I'm walking with him because I know where he brought me from. He brought me. Didn't nobody else bring me? So nobody else can keep me. But God formed this partnership. Partnerships are formed because of love for the others. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Doesn't matter how you feel about it, but if you love me, if you love me, you'll keep my commandment. If you love him, you'll do what he said. Sometimes you don't think it's right. Everybody treat me wrong, but he said, if you love me, if you love me, keep my commandments. And sometimes you want to break the partnership because it seems as if the other person's not keeping their part of the bargain. Y'all have to excuse me here. I'm not talking about none of y'all. I'm talking about me. Feel like sometimes God haven't kept his part of the bargain, because it seemed like everything that you're doing that you think is right in the eyesight of God, it seemed to backfire on you. But I tell you, and I didn't read this in a book, but I experienced this. Stay right there. Keep doing what you think is, you know, is the will of God, and God will get you out of it. See what God, help me, Holy Ghost. God don't ask you permission to do what he does to you. because you formed a partnership with him and he knows your heart. He knows whatever I'm going through right now is to help me get over here. But I don't see it. I don't like difficulties and hardship, but just because he's God and God all by himself, he sees what I need to go through, and he will get the glory from what I'm going through. I don't understand it, God. I don't know why you're doing me like this. I don't know why my friends don't like me anymore. But God, you said that you would not leave me, nor forsake me. And I'm holding on. I'm not going to leave because I formed the partnership. God, I remember that you put Abraham to sleep and you walked down it by yourself. That's an unconditional covenant that God made with man. You ain't got nothing to do with it. If you just do like I said, Abraham, you didn't walk down the center of the animal. God did all by himself, and he sealed it because of himself. He couldn't witness to nobody else but by himself, but he did it to himself. I can't swear by nothing no higher than me, so I swear by myself. I'm God, and what I say, God forms an awesome partnership between each one of us. All we have to do is receive. Just receive. And, God, I break my part of the partnership agreement sometime. But then you said, if you'll ask me to forgive you, if you repent of your sin. And repenting doesn't depend on how much you cry. You cannot cry at all and repent. Or you can cry a bucket and a half and not repent. It's the heart that repents. The physical part of the body does not. You can go around looking sad all you want. And don't be sad because you did it. You be sad because you got caught. But you need to stay with God. Form the covenant with God. Get in it. Do your part. Do the best you know how to do. And then when you mess up, take your medicine. Repent. Repent. Don't think he gonna forget it. Because now an elephant doesn't remember. God doesn't forget. God would discipline you about doing something that seemed like a sinner get away with. And you do know why, don't you? Because you're his child. You're his child. And he will discipline you. I'm through. But I read a story this morning, and I want to tell you about it. I hope it makes sense to you like it did to me. There was this young lady. Her name was Jenny. She had a bad problem with arthritis in her feet. Young lady, 2 or 3 years old. And she was in such pain, and she couldn't tell people what was wrong with her. She just rubbed her feet, and her parents finally carried her to a doctor that was wise enough to look at every aspect of her life, and he saw that she had a real bad case of arthritis in her feet, and she's 2 years old. Sometime when she walked, if she put her whole foot on the ground, it would hurt. So she walked like this most of the time. And in school, well, some of us probably been away from school so long, we have forgotten. Young people sometimes are awful cruel to others. And the kids laughed and made fun of her, but she still went to school. She was real smart. And on top of that, she had a little cleft lip, and so she could talk funny sometimes. And she hurt all the time. Went to high school, it was the same way. But nothing never seemed to discourage her. Got up in high school into her senior year. She had done very little, she made good grades. applied for all kinds of scholarships, and sometimes when she got the scholarships and the people would watch her when she'd come in, they turn her down because she had to walk on the tiptoes, and when she would let it down, it would hurt, so she didn't do that much. So her senior year coming up, she goes to the coach. Coach, I want to be a manager on the football team. Coach said, no. Jenny, we need somebody that's able to move real fast and do things. And she showed him, they had the water buckets. She showed him that she could carry two of those water buckets at one time, carrying those water buckets on the field. And so he allowed her to be a manager. And, oh, I forgot to tell you, Jenny was real active in her church. She worked real active in her church and in the youth ministry. She did wonderful things in there. And so it was an encouragement. Some of the guys went to the same church, and so they knew her there. And so she would come out on the football field walking just like this, carrying those two buckets and giving them things. And she was never late. Her handicap never stopped her from doing what she had in her heart that she wanted to do. And she did it. One day, the football team was winning almost all the games, and they was going to the playoffs. And the news reporters were talking to the guys, all the guys, about what turned this team around and made them win like they was winning. One of the best players on the team was laying down injured, and she come walking out with two buckets with the water, and they gave him what he needed. And they asked him that, and he said, I'm laying here hurt right now. He said, and I'm about to get up. He said, because I see Jenny walking out here, and she walks like this all the time. Said, and that's what have motivated this football team. Said, if she can do what she does with the handicap that she has, why am I going to stay here with this little injury that I have when this is something she lives with every day? We think that we have it bad. I complained of having no shoes until I saw a man with no feet. That's when it is. So what she had done, she had made her weakness her strength. She didn't work on nothing else but doing what she wanted to do. At the end of the season, the coach, they had a banquet. She was the guest of honor. The first girl to earn a letter in football. The players wanted her to receive that because of the motivation that she did to them, for them. So my reason in telling you that is that there's somebody that's doing something that you might not think it's a great thing. They might not think it's a great thing, but everybody else thinks it's a great thing that you're doing. Keep doing what you're doing, not for yourself, for the other people that you will motivate to become in this spot. She formed a partnership between herself and the football team because of what she did not have. She wanted to do, but she could not do. Just because I'm not like you, don't think I'm abnormal. See me just like I am and take me just like I am. Then God will get the glory from what all of us are doing. If we allow God to receive the glory for what we're doing, then everything will be all right. The ships of life, partnership. Forgot to tell you one very important thing. Jenny had formed a partnership between herself and God. God gave the most in the partnership. With that, we'll extend an invitation.